You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, movie homework.
Welcome to Movie Homework. I'm Pete MC, and this is the trilogy of Steven Spielberg movies we have not seen. We're on the last one here, and we're here with Jack Falvey and Alex Sincere. What's going on?
Yo, yo, yo. What's up?
Hey.
Oh, hey. I had to clear my throat there through that whole intro. I was waiting. I didn't know when the best time was, and I think I decided I should mute my mic and do it, but I just did it.
Yeah, for, just
don't, for all, don't for all to hear.
Fuck you, Garrett. We're not editing this shit.
So we are, this is the last one, guys. We did Sugarland Express, War Horse, and now the BFG, the newest one out of those three. Directed by Steven Spielberg. I mean, we go right in? We just going right in?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the only thing, we haven't seen this. So, you know, usually we talk about whether or not, you know, what the deal is, any background with it. I mean, I remember the book a little bit from when I was a kid, but like, did you guys have any awareness of this at all? Or
I had no idea this was a Roald Dahl book.
Okay.
I knew that looking into the movie when it got released, because this was one of the first long time ago when I was writing the Pete MC at this weekend. This was one of the first movies that I wrote about. So I had to do that research then.
Gotcha. So this was one of the first books I ever read. I don't
reading and shit.
I'll be honest with you. I don't remember a ton from it. There were things we'll talk about them as they go, but like there were little details that they definitely lifted straight from the book and they got pretty right.
I smell a pop.
But there was. I realized after watching this movie, I don't remember a lot from the book.
Okay. Yeah. I was looking up Binge Media. The BFG, because I was going to listen to someone like who reviewed it, and I think Ammon and I were on a show, and Ammon reviewed it, and I was on it, and I just don't even remember anything. And I never got a chance to listen to that show, so I have idea what happened there. No one ever really remembers the Binge Cast, right? That's kind of just how it goes.
Mm-mm.
I mean, that's the sign of a successful one.
Exactly. Oh, I'm going to miss this this trilogy of Spielberg. Like, I wish there was a few more we could have done, but that's okay.
Well, we can always do another one soon.
Yeah.
He's got enough movies, yeah.
He's got enough that I haven't seen.
He's got a few more.
I haven't seen Lincoln, but I think you guys probably have, or Falvey.
I haven't seen Lincoln.
Yeah, I've seen Lincoln.
God, you suck. Yeah, we'll get a different host. So, directed by Steven Spielberg, and what Jack was saying earlier, Roald Dahl. Wrote this. He wrote
Roald Dahl.
He wrote James and the Giant Peach, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Fantastic Mr. Fox. The screenplay was by Melissa Matheson, who wrote the screenplay for E.T. and The Indian in the Cupboard. I love E.T. Good. Off to a good start here, getting her on board. Cinematographer Janusz Kaminski, who we just talked about on War Horse. Mm-hmm. He also did The Post, Bridge of Spies, Lincoln, and the new West Side Story coming out.
Am I crazy or didn't he do, did he do Saving Private Ryan too?
Oh, it's possible. I didn't put all his from.
I think the only reason why I mentioned that is because I know.
Oh, didn't you bring something up about that? Because we talked about War Horse.
Yeah, he did do it.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's like he's up there in the world of like cinematographers as one of the greats. I mean, he's done a lot of Spielberg's movies.
Yeah.
But I know that Saving Private Ryan in particular had like obviously this is, you know, kind of understating something, but it had a major influence on a lot of other films and video games, and a lot of like the Call of Duty series has borrowed heavily from Saving Private Ryan and then sort of develop that style further, but pretty significant cinematographer, even if, you know, people don't know his name necessarily.
That's why I didn't put it in. I figured everyone knew that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, you're better at this than I am. What can I
say? Nah, I'm kidding. I left it out. I don't know why. starring Mark Rylance, who worked with Spielberg with Ready Player One, Bridge of Spies, and Dunkirk. Bridge of Spies, yeah, Dunkirk. Ready Player One, Christopher Nolan's Dunkirk.
Oh, right, right.
We have kind of like a first-timer young child actress here, Ruby Barnhill. I don't know much else she's done. We also have Penelope Wilton, who plays the Queen, who's from the – she's the mom in Shaun of the Dead, Shaun's mom. Yeah. We have voices by Jemaine Clement and Bill Hader. And then we also have actors Rafe Spall and Rebecca Hall. That's pretty much it as far as like giant cast goes, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Date of release, we have July 1st, 2016. I don't know if it ran the box office July 4th weekend. I don't think Will Smith had anything going on that week. Budget was $140 million. It grossed $55 million domestic. Kind of took a hit there. $139 international made its money back there. And then $195 total worldwide. So I don't see – I mean, it is a little bit of a profit, but it's something – Disney, Spielberg, giant CGI, 4th of July weekend. Huge. I don't think that's huge money, especially with a budget.
No.
So I think that was a little bit of a tank.
This was this the same – well, I know it's the same year. I don't know if it's the same weekend, but I'm sure there was a fucking Marvel movie out. But I know Captain America Civil War was this year.
Oh, man.
I don't know if that took some of that business or what.
I'm cruising right now. I'm cruising on the old
on the box office, say
web Legend of Tarzan. I remember that because that was the same
perfect
week. The Purge election year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Legend of Tarzan. I said that one. Our Kind of Traitor, which was a Ewan McGregor. That was pretty
Ewan McGregor.
I think I want to say Purge probably took the run that weekend, but I'm not sure.
Finding Dory.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Finding Dory, Legend of Tarzan, Purge, okay. Election year.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Oh,
ID Resurgence.
So that's really – this is a weird movie because, like, this is an Amblin movie, but it's also a Disney movie. Like, yeah. I was kind of shocked to see that at the beginning. I had no idea this was a Disney movie.
Yeah.
So this came out the same weekend as Finding Dory or the same time of the year? In any case, it's same, Disney competing yeah, against itself. It's like fucking weird, right? I mean, that's kind of, I don't know.
Yeah. Spielberg gets what he wants, you know what I'm saying?
I guess so. I don't know if he got what he wanted with this one, though.
That's true. So. Yeah, he didn't get that budget. he got the budget. He didn't get that gross. All right.
Oh, no, wait. Sorry. Finding Dory opened June 17th, so a month before, and it's still fucking killing it.
Oh, yeah.
By the time, you know, BFG comes out.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's get into BFG here. BFG, if you don't know, by the poster in the old book, it's about a 10-year-old girl, orphaned girl named Sophie, who befriends a giant, aka BFG, takes her to Giant Country, where they attempt to stop the man-eating giants that are invading the human world. But we'll get into like more of why he takes her and all that stuff. So Act One, like I said, Sophie, a 10-year-old girl who lives in a London orphanage after her parents died when she was a baby, stays awake reading through the nights due to her insomnia. So at 3 a.m, Sophie is grabbed out of her bed from the orphanage and taken to Giant Country. Well, she kind of like sees the giant, and that's why he takes her out of the bed. And that's why he takes her to Giant Country, because the BFG believes she will tell other humans about him and, I guess, other giants. While they're in Giant Country, we are introduced to Flesh Lump Eater, voiced by Jemaine Clement. And he's kind of like a larger, meaner, and leader of his like giant crew who they eat children. I don't know if it's people. I do know they lean heavily towards the missing and children. So I want to say it's just children. So he barges into the BFG's house, sniffs out that there's a human in there, and starts the hunt for the human bean, which is, there's a lot of clever and punny type of mispronounced and mis. The wording is
made up words, yeah.
Yeah. So human being is supposed to be human being, obviously. So
yeah.
Get it. Everyone gets it.
Got an audio clip for you here, okay. So we'll give this a shot.
Is you at home, Ron?
No.
You?
is traveling. Who is you traveling to, Runt? Why is you such a chat bag in the morning?
Why is you not sleeping today?
Because you keep me awake with your jabbering. I'll have the boo-boo.
Oh, possibly later.
Now, run!
Right, I'll just have to fetch some water.
No water. No water.
Give me it here.
Does you have a new little pussy poo?
I think the strongest thing in this movie, honestly, is the voice acting. I totally agree.
Yeah,
Jermaine is the fucking man.
Oh yeah.
I thought Mark Rylance was a really weird choice when I heard that he was going to be the BFG, but he sounds pretty good. Like, I was surprised. I didn't expect a ton, but I really liked pretty much all of the voice acting.
I also think a lot of the times when you get an animated film, sometimes the voice acting and the animation doesn't really sync up or line up. Not that the audio is out of sync or anything, but like there's a disconnect where like it doesn't necessarily pull off. Like I think the voice acting and the animation is just fucking perfect in this.
Oh my God, it is
fucking. I was super into it.
It's flawless.
Did you guys ever see either of the Zemeckis movies where he did like Polar Express, Beowulf, or Christmas Carol?
Beowulf, yeah.
Yeah. So this, okay, so we can talk about it a little bit more afterwards, but when we were talking about War Horse, we were trying to rationalize, like, why the fuck he made that movie, right? Like, clearly, he made it for one of his daughters who wanted him to make a movie with horses in it. Okay. I think that this movie is kind of like Spielberg's Hugo, like when Scorsese did Hugo with the 3D.
Yeah.
And this is him just being like, you know what? Let me see if the technology is there to do the motion capture stuff properly now. Mm-hmm. Like that Polar Express shit. And I think this one has a leg up because the characters are not exact human beings. So
sure, yeah.
That is creepy. Yeah. But I don't know. I thought the CGI was really good in this.
I totally agree. And, you know, like, what, 4 years later, not that it would age that much or visual effects have gotten that much better in 4 years. It just fucking looks, like, amazing, man. It looks really fucking looks good. And then once, you know, we'll get to it in the second act, but, you know, once the BFG shows her, all the dreams and stuff, like the color, I have a fucking shitty fucking 10-year-old LED TV, and like the colors just pop right on it. So I could only imagine this at, you know, like in a 4K TV or something like that.
Yeah,
this thing looks sick. I mean, in that first act when he's cutting up that fruit, it just looks unbelievable.
Yeah,
that vegetable.
And the other thing too that I really wanted to point out, especially in the first act, is that immediately I feel like this is a Spielberg movie, like more so than I did with War Horse. You have sort of those hallmarks of like, okay, we have a child protagonist. Of course, she's an orphan. And there's like a, I don't know, there's this like, the music suits the tone of this.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. Yeah.
Yeah, better than the music in War Horse suited whatever tone that movie was going for.
Yeah, for me, I always associate like, the feeling that Spielberg gives you is always with the music.
Yeah.
So like John Williams' score in this is like, it's just so fucking perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are hints of like Harry Potter in this score.
I was going to say, I sound a little bit like a Harry Potter kind of like an outtake of Harry Potter or something like that.
Yeah, but it still fits. Like it's still like whimsical and adventurous and stuff. So it still plays. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he almost plays it like the way like old Tom and Jerry cartoons, like where there's no dialogue and every like nuance is like accented by like an orchestral thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Nah, so far so good, right?
I think we're, I mean, it's okay.
We're in the quit bragging. All right, let's jump to Act Two here. So Act Two, Sophie and the BFG go to Dream Country to catch dreams, and after Sophie helps the BFG with his dream hunting and catching one of her own dreams, then they, I said that sentence kind of wrong, but anyway, they.
Oh, actually, you know what? I've got an audio clip in between here.
Oh, okay.
So they, when they first go out, before they actually go to the dream tree, there's another little clip. And this is a little similar to the last clip, but I really liked the voice performances so much that I wanted to get a little bit of this too. So this is the BFG and Sophie, when they leave BFG's house and they're trying to sneak past the other giants.
Okay.
Where is you galloping off to in the daytime, Rubs?
You know I was going off to my work.
Well, you could be seen by Snoopies and bring a giant hunt.
Oh, no, no.
And we're not wanting a giant hunt, is we?
Now, let me down, Fresh Snoopy. Let the boys sleep in the day.
Well, we is all awake now. We might as well...
frolic.
Yeah, we might as well frolic.
Frolic?
What's frolic?
Frolic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't just take it. Ronnie. Do something.
Give it, Gulper. Go long.
Why you not hunt with us, Runt?
Funny, like you were talking about, Alex, with the whimsical music and the way it like accentuates movement and sort of draws your eye to the action. This is a cool clip.
That's a good clip because that helped me with this act too. So she leaves like the BFG's home with like a blanket from his home, and she's kind of wearing that during this whole kind of action bullying set piece. So, after they come back from Dream Country, they come back from Dream Country after that? Or they go to Dream Country from there.
They go to Dream Country after there.
Okay, but during that clip, she does leave that blanket around that area where the other giants are hanging out. So then the pair head to London to spread good dreams to the children. But then Sophie and BFG realize that the other giants have found her blanket, because they kind of just figured that out since they left it there, and they will not rest until they find her. The BFG determines to leave her back at the orphanage for her own safety, but she refuses, and he finally decides to take her back to Giant Country. Well, they will come up with a plan for Act 3. So there's a lot happening in Act 2. A lot of, like you said, the dreams world, like all that sequence with all the colors you were saying, Alex, like all that shit when they're trying to catch that stuff, and him explaining, I think, all the dream stuff to her. So, and he does have nightmares. It's not only just dreams.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of pieces from the book that I remembered up to this point, and like other things that I was like, I got to look up whether or not that's different from the book, because I don't remember it. But a lot of little things. Like I remember, actually, this was in Act 1, but when she goes to the clock, and I can't remember if she mentions it's the witching hour or if someone says it's the witching hour, if that was just in the book. Was there a line of dialogue about that in the movie?
I want to say there was.
Okay, so... it's just one of those things, like, I remember reading the book and trying to figure out, because I was such a, like, I was a kid, trying to figure out what time the witching hour was supposed to be. Like, I didn't understand that term. Mm-hmm. So, like, that, for some reason, when she looked at the clock and was, like, checking what the time was, that brought back this, like, really, like, old memory that I had. I also remembered a lot of the wordplay, which they really don't do a ton of in the movie, but some of the clips I pulled, there's a little bit of it. And I can see why, because it probably would work better on the page. There's a lot of like double entendre stuff and a lot of alliteration in the text about, you know, there's one section where like the BFG, he says that no giant would ever eat a Greek because he's too greasy, stuff like that. Yeah, sounds a little prejudiced now, but I assure you, in the book, it's a lot more kiddish and funny. But yeah, there was little things keep flooding back here and there. Some of the stuff in Act Two as well, when they go to the dream, the tree with the dreams on it. I remembered a bit of that. I remembered the idea of him mixing together a dream and then delivering it, or mixing together a nightmare and delivering it. Mm-hmm. So some of that stuff, I don't know. There was that old nostalgia thing. I definitely felt twinges of that here and there. Just sort of the connecting tissue of like what the intricacies of the story were the things I was probably paying the most attention to while watching this, just because I haven't reread it. So
yeah. I kind of felt the same way, like reading Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and then obviously the movie, Willy Wonka. Like the movie, you know, it starts in BFG starts in an orphanage. You know, you're immediately like relating to this little kid who's in an orphanage, and you know, she's kind of like, she's the oddball, right?
Yeah.
Like so much of his work is like that. Like, right. And especially I'm mostly familiar with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, so like I immediately get that feeling, like, oh, I'm in a fucking doll universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm in a fucking Roald Dahl universe. Like immediately, I was put right there. He just has a way of like bringing like the less fortunate people, or the BFGs of the world who are like bullied or whatever, and then bringing them together and like, you know, either creating something, or you know, you just kind of like find your people and then
putting
like,
them
you're
in like a fantastical situation in a way.
Yeah.
Same with like James and the Giant Peach and shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the title of it is. James and the Giant Peach and shit.
To the sequel? Holy shit. Read that
he
one.
Gets into some shit with that peach.
Man, you thought that peach was good, man? Oh, shit.
Should I read Act 3, or do you have a clip? Or you want to stop me as I'm reading this?
Do I have another clip? I do have another clip.
Okay.
It's a little right before they go to when you get to the queen. I've got a clip for you.
Okay. So here
to
we
the
go.
Queen?
What? This is a family. This is a family show.
She gets
show.
To the queen.
Jesus. Okay. Act 3. Here we go. Sophie comes up with a plan to give the Queen of England a dream about giants. It's more of like a nightmare and a revelation. Also introduce her to the BFG and enlist her help to get rid of the giants, because we can't have any more of these kids disappearing, because it becomes a news headline. But Sophie obviously knows that it's the giants that are causing this. So thanks to the Queen, Sophie and the BFG return to Giant Country with the plan of giving the giants a bad dream. So Jack, you want me to cue it to you now?
Maybe right before they go to Giant Country. Okay. I've got a little something for you.
So when the giants awake, the British Air Force snags them and hauls them out to an unknown island where they must eat nothing but vegetables for the rest of their lives. It's a really quick battle.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, okay. Hold on. I do have an audio clip for you. I'm sorry. Sorry, we're moving pretty quick. So when they're in the, is it supposed to be Buckingham Palace or whatever, the Queen's house? Granted, there's a lot of shenanigans in this movie, right? I mean, it's a kids movie, so
yeah,
a lot of shenanigans. I mean, if you're here and you don't like shenanigans, you should probably leave, because there's gonna be shenanigans. You know what I mean?
I think that was on the poster. If you're here and you don't like shenanigans, get the fuck out.
That's right. But you know, a lot of it's visual. You have BFG, who is a giant, moving through the palace, and you know, there's a lot of silliness. He knocks a chandelier over, and one of the things that he does is he drinks his frog's vomit or whatever the fuck it is,
something like that,
where the bubbles go from top to bottom, which means when it comes out, you know,
you have this clip.
Of course I do. Yes. So nice. This is what happens when the queen and everybody in the palace has some of the BFG's fizzy lifting drink, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
It's a giant country.
I mean, Pete, that had to be your favorite.
Oh, it was unbelievable. The Queen's fart, where
the Queen's fart, dude, oh, yeah, is the best one.
Oh my God.
It's so powerful, but it's all just under the table.
Yeah,
it's just directed.
The whole tablecloth is just blowing in the wind. It's fantastic.
I'm actually surprised that they let that much of it go.
Yeah,
like you get the first time he has it with Sophie earlier in the movie, like it's fucking hilarious. But then it's like an extended version of that later on.
Yeah, and it's a weird spot. Like you almost think like. Obviously, they showed it and they're going to use it later, but I thought it was going to be maybe like a weapon later to give to like the bigger giants and have them just go out of control with it. But it was just a laughing gag. Like it made it didn't matter.
Right.
That scene.
Right. Yeah. I don't know, man. It was.
No, but it was fun. It was fun.
I just love that it's a Spielberg movie for kids that has a queef in it.
I mean, come on. Who doesn't like fucking farts? You know what I'm saying?
Hey, God save the queef. Am I right, guys?
Hey! Whoa.
Calm down. I didn't know you were on stage tonight.
Oh, sorry.
What time does your set end? Jesus. You doing two shows tonight? Calm down.
Yeah, buy some chicken wings and shit.
Was this a two-drink minimum? Jesus. Okay. So after the farts, they go and head to Giant Country with the plan to give them nightmares and also the British Air Force to take them down. So when the giants awake, the British Air Force snags them and hauls them out to an unknown island where they must eat nothing but vegetables for the rest of their lives. The BFG returns to happy solitude in Giant Country while Sophie is adopted by the Queen's aide. The end.
I don't know. Those other giants are just going to fucking turn on each other once they get... like sick of ruffle cubes or whatever the fuck they're ruffle cumbers.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, they're just gonna eat each other. I mean, they're cannibals already, so.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck.
That's true. Just got a bigger meal.
The real question is when are they gonna start fucking each other or something? You know? Whoa!
Jesus.
That is a real question. And so I'm gonna say yes.
They just don't like water. Is that really like the deal? They don't really like go into that too much. The water bits.
Yeah, I guess. I don't remember that from the book again. Like, I don't know if that was a thing. I mean, it kind of feels like it was.
It had to have been because they just brushed. I mean,
he hides his lab, his dream lab, behind a waterfall. So I'm assuming.
I know, but like they go out in the rain.
Right.
If they're not in it that long, but
they don't like it.
They don't like it. But is that it? They just don't like it.
I guess.
Yeah, I think they just want to eat meat.
Yeah.
That's all. They want to be fucking.
They're just a bunch of gay giants. I think that's what it is.
I think you're right.
They're all just a bunch of bears. Roald Dahl couldn't write this back in the day. You know, they all just want their meat, and they don't want to have to take a shower.
They were all dressed up like Rob Halford and Judas Priest. Like we had like leather. Like they were all going to a leather bar after that. Fucking Police Academy style. I did like the like small details, like when we first meet the giants and they're all sleeping. Like some of them have like moss covered blankets and shit. Mm-hmm. They're just like using moss as blankets.
That was
one. There's a lot of creativity in the cinematography of it, but also like just I guess it's set design, but mm-hmm. There's a lot of little things like that, especially in the BFG's house and his lab.
I mean, he doesn't have a race car bed. He has a fucking ship bed.
Right.
Like,
right.
How cool is that? And he's a goddamn BFG.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool ideas here for sure.
And I love the way he, like, scatters and hides when he's in, like, London towns and stuff. Like, it's so clever. Mm-hmm.
He
ducks and hides and stuff. I did love that stuff.
He's just, like, blocked off a whole street, like, with his cloak and shit.
Yeah. So
that movement's really cool. And then him. So one of the other things I really liked was sometimes when you have movies that have like a giant character, they don't do a good job at conveying the scale or like the effort that it takes that character to move. And I felt like whenever the BFG was walking around, he had this like sort of gait to his walk that you felt like he was a giant. You know, it didn't feel like he was just this lifeless CGI character. Like, I don't know.
But then when he's in London, like, he's like he's very fluid the way he moves, like especially when you first meet him, like he's almost like waltzing throughout the fucking streets.
Because he does it like every night. That's why.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why.
Oh, and fucking what? God damn it! I forgot.
Sorry.
With something else I was gonna bring up. Oh no, no. Going back to what you were saying, Jack, about perspective. I was waiting for I was waiting for something to show up where they got the perspective wrong. Like,
oh yeah, you were gonna Sophie
would be this tall, okay. Compared to the BFG. But then when they go somewhere else, then she's like way bigger, or he's way smaller, or something like that. I thought it was pretty consistent, though.
Yeah.
I think the eyeglasses sometimes seemed bigger for BFG than. Like sometimes he was able to pick them up with his thumb and his pointer finger, and I'm like, you would not be able to like get those.
I don't know, man. I'm trying to think in terms of like when she's standing on his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
Maybe they're a little big, but I think
they're like a little big when he goes to grab them. Though there's no way he'd be able to like pick them up. I don't think.
I think he could, man. I don't know. I'd want to go back and see that, maybe.
I don't know. Those are real small. I mean, you know, for her.
Sure.
For main themes of this movie, I really don't know what main themes are. I had no clue. It was just kind of like, don't fucking bully anyone, I guess, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's one of them. Loyalty, right? Loyalty is definitely one of them.
I guess.
And, of course, the standard, you know, it's a kids' movie, so friendship is thrown in there, I'm sure.
Adopt pets. You know, if they adopt children. Adopt pets.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Adopt pets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Adopt a soap while you're out there. Fuck it.
Yeah. And don't be a giant asshole.
Yeah.
One thing that I thought they got way wrong is they didn't see a single giant asshole. Bullshit. This movie's unrealistic, man. Fuck Spielberg.
Now, I also love how they call BFG the little man. Like the other giants call him little man.
I was just going to talk. I was just going to bring that up. Do you guys like that there's taller giants than BFG, or do you think they should have been all the same size?
I mean,
that's part of the story.
It's part of the story. Like, I get it. I don't understand it, but I get it just because it's like, it's already set up that way.
Yeah.
I don't really need to explain it, but I kind of wanted an explanation.
Yeah.
They make more of that in the book, for sure. Oh, like, it's more, the BFG relates more to Sophie in the book. They do it in the movie, but the fact that, you know, she's an orphan, he is also kind of an orphan because he doesn't have a mother or father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's more made of that in the book. But, you know, I have to say, my favorite scene is when the flesh lump eater, right? That's his name, flesh lump eater.
Yeah.
Flesh lump eater. When he says this.
When you're a little fella, but not circus midget, little as your reputation would suggest.
I thought that was great.
Whoa, I didn't know they got fucking Christoph Waltz.
Missed that one.
They got Christoph Waltz?
It's a subtle performance, you know. You can't you can't judge him too harsh on it.
So. Oh wow! Or was that Tim Roth from Hateful Eight? Who was that?
Come on.
What? Sorry. Okay.
I also thought BFG being a empathetic character because like he's this old dude who's getting picked on.
He's like Larry David.
It's like what the fuck?
He looks like Larry David with giant ears.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Fucking fizzy lifting drink. Pretty, pretty, pretty good.
No, I didn't touch the ceiling. No, I didn't touch the ceiling. No, no, no. I brushed it with a knuckle. Everybody knows you do not have a thumbprint with a knuckle. You should have no problem. No problem. I have feel I saw. You can have that. No. God. I was hoping somebody else thought that too, that he looked like Larry David.
I wish it was a giant Larry David.
Oh, it'd probably be a much
better. Why do I got giants out here sleeping on my lawn every day? What is this? Fucking homeless Sophie.
If it was Larry David, you would never get the Sophie character. The movie would just have to take place in giant
country. Oh, no. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
There's never no fucking reason why Larry David would ever be distributing dreams to anyone. No.
It would all be nightmares.
That's definitely true.
It'd be nightmares.
Shit. Leon would be flesh lump eater. Larry, you make noise, man, Larry.
We're going to be a giant. We're going to be a giant ass dick.
It'd be Funkhauser. Funkhauser would be him.
Come if not come, BFG.
the queen is Susie. I'm not going out there and helping you guys. Standing here.
Here you come. Over again, BFG. You're all fucked up. You're fucking
you,
with
BFG.
Something.
You fucking giant bald asshole.
Yep, that's it. Perfect. That's it.
God damn.
I need a rewrite, Steve.
Gotta do it.
All right, we've been talking compliments throughout this whole thing, the way things look, perspective and all that stuff, but it's pretty, I mean, I feel like I covered all my bullet points here of compliments, because I feel like we've been kind of complimenting this movie the whole time. I mean, this, like, the CGI is unbelievable. Like Alex said, the voice to mocap is fucking flawless. I mean, really, I was staring. Really, I mean, and they zoom it. You're right in their mouths of these.
Yeah, you can, like, see the fucking BFG's pores and shit.
It is just fucking unreal, incredible, man. And we said this perspective, other than I think there's some of the glasses, but whatever. Perspective, they nail that shit, the scale of everything. And I'm sure Steven Spielberg got a fucking mathematician scaling that shit down. And everything looks great, man. Even there's, like, just simple as the grass and shit.
I think they do a pretty good job with the tone, too. Like, it's, again, like, we're comparing it, I'm comparing it to War Horse, because, I mean, that's the last one that we watched. But War Horse, just, I don't understand the tone of that movie or, like, what it's trying to do. It just doesn't.
Who it's for or anything like that.
Yeah, like, this is a kid's movie. It is, you could definitely tell it's made by the guy who made, you know, Hook, E.T., like, it has that feel to it, and the tone is consistent. Like, it's much more consistent than what War Horse gave us, I think.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think for the most part, you know, listeners of this fucking podcast network, this is not in my wheelhouse at all. Like,
sure.
I would be happy to fucking not watch this for the rest of my life. Like, if we never did this podcast, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you wouldn't
care. But I'm glad we did, though, because I was like immediately in. It's fucking like, it really brought me in. I was like really surprised at how engaged I was in this movie.
Yeah.
That's a great compliment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, trying to think if there was anything else. I think I lost my train of thought. But
you're high as fuck. I get it.
Me?
What?
I'm just drinking. All right, let's talk about things we didn't like about this movie. I got a couple here. I don't like that the BFG is called BFG. Kind of wanted a name. I know the bigger giants call him Runt. Runt. I kind of wanted a name. Larry would have been good, I think.
Larry David
in particular.
And then, like we said before, the farting scene, the whole the BFG dinner scene, I just didn't care for. We're with Sophie and BFG. They make this plan to go give the queen this dream or nightmare. So she realizes that there are big giants giants out there, so they can help attack them and get them off the land. And then they have this elaborate, sophisticated dinner besides the farting scene. And I'm just like, can we get to this battle scene? Which the battle lasts 15 seconds. That was the only infuriating thing for me.
I do agree with that, because it comes at the third act. I think it would have worked better if it came a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
And just extended the quote unquote battle scene.
Yeah,
that makes some sense.
I mean, this is
it's just weird for that, like, slow. I mean, it's not a slow moving scene, but it's definitely like tempered than every other scene, and it comes in the third act. Like, usually, if you're on a trajectory, you wouldn't necessarily put that kind of scene in the third act, because that's when everything is supposed to come together and all that other shit.
And we've seen all the clever little things, everyday human things that the BFG has used in his everyday life. And then they're doing it again in the Queen's Castle, like using the watering plant to pour his coffee. Like, I got it. We got it. I understand. We have to use small things because you guys are all small to make it a dinner happen for him. I got it.
Yeah.
Like, we saw all those bits already. However, it was still fun to see that stuff, like the pitchfork he uses as a fork and the sword he uses as a knife. Like that stuff is fun to me, but I just didn't need it again and this late in the movie and right before a battle.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew that we knew the battle was coming. That was the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those are my only and besides like the battle being so short. I mean, this is a 2016 movie. Every kid has seen a fucking gazillion Avengers movies at this point. And that
true.
End battle scene is always super long and elaborate and fun. And it was just, I mean, when they put the BFG on the car in the top or I guess towards the end of the first act, and they have him like race down the hill with the other one. Like that scene mm-hmm. was longer than the actual battle was.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. This is one of those things where I definitely don't love this movie, but I don't have a ton of problems with it. Mm-hmm. I don't really like the actress they got to play Sophie very much. I think she's fine, but there are times where she's a little bit too know-it-all for me. You know, at the beginning of the movie, she's hanging out the window yelling at the drunk guys on the street corner saying she'll call the cops on them.
Yeah.
Like, you're like 8 years old. You don't, you're not doing any of that shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't love, and there are a lot of, like, kids' movies that do this, and it's fine, but usually that's like Nickelodeon fare, you know, like a Nickelodeon movie has that kind of shit in it. I wasn't into it, you know. I felt like maybe somebody could have delivered a bit more subtle of a performance, especially since the BFG is such a like an animated character. I mean, I know he's CGI, but like he moves around a lot of visual gags.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have liked to have seen the Sophie character be a little more humble, maybe. So I didn't love that. I totally agree with you, Pete. I wish there was a little more. I don't know if it had to be a battle scene. They were certainly leading up to that.
Yeah.
But I would have liked the climax to have been a little more clever somehow, like somehow outwitting the other giants. I think that might have been the way to do it.
Yeah, I don't mean like I need to see a 20-minute battle. I need to see like what you're saying, just something. Yeah. Where he gets them, like I said, like maybe the fart drink is incorporated in this scene or something, like, you know.
That's a great call. Yeah. Maybe that's the way to do it. Just something I would have appreciated more. I don't know. Again, I would like to, you know, take a look at the differences between the book and the movie, because I certainly, I don't know. I feel like the book probably has an ending that's of a little bit different kind of substance than that. Mm-hmm. But maybe I'm off there.
I mean, when
I thought going into this podcast, I thought I'd be alone in saying that the ending was like, I mean, just scoop them up and put them on an island.
Yeah. And flesh lump eater goes to punch BFG. It's just like a little rope that holds his giant arm back. Like, wait a second. They could step on these helicopters. Like, they got to be so small.
I was pretty surprised, but like that was the clever thing to get them. Because I thought it was going to be a huge battle. I mean, once, you know, we've seen in a lot of movies, once the queen or whoever the like figurehead is, they're like, all right, bring in the fucking army. And it's like, oh, shit, here we go.
Yeah.
Like, this is not going to be good. But they just fucking scoop him up and drop him off on an island.
Very easy. It's like the, you know, this British army has done this before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've done this.
Remember that last time when we got rid of those giants? Oh, yeah, let's do that one. You got the nets still? You got those nets? Yeah, all right, man.
You got those giant nets?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, shit. All right. Any other complaints?
Not really. Just
nope.
Yeah.
I think this is a pretty well-made movie. Like, I don't know. This seems like this is a pretty good kids movie.
Do you guys care that she just kept calling him BFG? Like, that was driving me kind of crazy when she just kept
yelling. Yeah, I mean, I think it would have made it a little bit more personal. Like, their personal relationship would have been even more solid if he actually had a name.
Yeah.
And that, like, know. All right. It, you know, you start off the movie with, like, she calls him BFG, but that can't be your real name. That's my name, blah, blah, blah. That's what everybody
and
calls
And second
me.
Act, when they realize, oh, we are going to become friends, then he can be, oh, my name's Sophie. Oh, my name's Larry, you know?
They're sitting around with fucking dreams flying all over their faces and
she's
shit.
She's sliding down his boner. Wait, what?
She's sliding down his boner.
Wait.
No.
No?
What movie are you watching? No. And then, yeah, but it, she's like, and then he's like, my real name is, you know, fucking...
Jim Law.
Larry.
Garrett.
My real name is LD. So.
My name is Giant, and I'm friendly, and I'm big.
The BF combis.
What are you guys doing down there?
The BFG. It's he's a G and he's also a B, and then sometimes he just B's.
This is Fizz.
He doesn't even break it down that
no.
It pops with Fizz, you know.
Oh, that's right, because BFG is. You're right, Alex. It's just BFG. He has no
it's
clue.
It's just an acronym. He doesn't break it down that it's a giant.
Yeah,
it's
he bases like, synopsis. He bases synopsis off the title.
Condies, this BFG looks pretty good. Should I get this? What's your feelings on it?
It's about the alphabet.
Pick a couple of letters, throw that against the wall, and I think you got something.
We have THE, BFG. I'm missing a few, but it's close.
You take some THC and have a BFG night. You and your wifey. What's her name, by the way? How's she doing?
I don't think he knows I'm married.
He's a pimp.
He may know. I don't know. I don't think he knows I'm married. Probably thought I was gay. Anywho.
Same. What?
What? Still? Stop it. Okay. Let's get into some trivia. Some phenomenal trivia. You guys are on. Edge of your seat. Edge of your seat. Trivia. Huge trivia. All right. Movie has been in development for almost 25 years. That means someone just bought the rights and it's just been sitting on the shelf.
Yeah, totally.
That doesn't mean anything. Producer and director Steven Spielberg tried to convince Gene Wilder to make an appearance in the movie, but Wilder declined.
Oh, yeah. He was already declining by that point.
Yeah. Originally, this movie was supposed to be produced by Frank Marshall and Kathleen Kennedy in 1991 by Paramount Pictures. With husband and wife screenwriters Robin Swickord and Nicholas Kazan on board, and Robin Williams was in
the role. Oh, my God. What?
Yeah, that would have been perfect.
I would have loved Robin
That's
Williams.
Right in the fucking pocket of, like, peak Williams right there.
Right? With Frank Marshall and Kathleen Kennedy, too, man. They were producing all that, like, adventurous type shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Ugh. That would have been – he would have knocked it out of the park.
Man. Ew. So in some weird Berenstain fucking Mandela effect universe, Robin Williams is the BFG.
Yeah. It would have been so much fun. He would have been more playing around with Sophie, kind of like Genie and Aladdin and stuff, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of showing her all like this cool stuff he's got instead of just like.
Oh, man, all I'm going to think about tonight is fucking Robin Williams in this role.
No. We got time. We have weeks to think about this.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We had a lifetime. He doesn't. What?
Jeez.
Huh?
Before her breakout role in Stranger Things, Millie Bobby Brown, who plays 11 in Stranger Things, was auditioned and was on the short list for this role. Jack, does that change anything for you as far as actress? Because I know you didn't really enjoy this girl too much.
Maybe. Yeah, she's pretty good.
She seems a little bit more low key. Yeah. She could play low key. We've seen that.
Yeah. She's definitely more low key in Stranger Things. I haven't seen her in much else, though, so I don't know if that's her style or.
Did you see Godzilla?
Nah, I didn't see that yet.
Okay.
So.
You saying low key or low key?
Both.
Thor, I said. No?
She would be good as low key. You're right.
Yeah.
No, I guess not.
Okay, take it easy, Brad. Okay, this movie also marks the first Walt Disney Pictures production since Dragon Slayer in 1981 to be co-produced by another major studio. So in the case of Dragon Slayer, it was a joint production between Paramount Pictures and Walt Disney. This marks the first movie co-produced by Walt Disney Pictures and Walden Media. I'm guessing Walden owns all the Roald Dahl books.
Is that? Must. Right.
Mm. Since the Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian in 2008. Caspian. And producer and director Steven Spielberg and cinematographer Janusz Kaminski's first movie shot digitally.
Hmm. Looks damn good for digital.
Oh, you know what?
It really does.
I remember my complaint. We were saying how great the CGI looked. Those cats, when we were in London outside the orphanage, looked horrendous.
Oh, yeah.
They were in the corgis. The corgis were
they were bad,
too.
The corgis
were definitely rough.
Yeah.
Oh, their faces when they looked, dude, when they turned over, I was like, fuck this movie.
What happened?
I was loving it up until then, and I'm like, fuck those corgis. They're fake. Yeah.
That was a little rough, but then they farted their way out of the room, and I was like, ah, I'll take it.
They farted their way out of the room. That was amazing.
I'm just like, it's amazing to me how some CGI is flawless. Like, is it last minute? They don't have budget. Do they give it to
the same movie, dude?
Do they give it to the intern for the day? Like, see if you could churn this out real quick.
Yeah, they just pour everything into the main event, and then it's like, the side shit, it'll work itself out.
They didn't even need the cats in the alleyway at all. They could have had the drunk guys knock over that garbage can, and then the BFG picks it up.
Cats in the alley and the silver spoon.
Oh, did you see the...
BFG fucking up the room.
What? Breaking Bad cameo in BFG?
Bad
camera.
So the drunk, the one who's like in the puddle the whole time, he's a big ear.
He's also one of the giants too.
Oh, the, yes.
Those guys were all the giants.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Oh, really? I didn't put that together. I love that.
What the fuck? What was the name of the company that he worked for? God damn it.
Yeah. Gray something.
Gray Matter.
Yeah, he didn't have a big role, but big enough. And I don't even know why I don't even know why they cast Bill Hader. I could not find one line of his. I was looking for it.
There's a bunch of shit that Bill Hader's in that doesn't make any sense. Like the fact that he's in The Force Awakens as BB-8. It's just like, okay.
Well, he just helped out with like the tone for BB-8, which makes him and I forget the other guy.
Ben Schwartz, right?
Yeah, Ben Schwartz. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like.
Really?
Did somebody just throw free money at him? I mean, I would take it, but like, what the fuck, you know?
I think they were just kind of like beeping and booping of what they would say. Bouncing off of Ray's dialogue. Wait, I'm being serious, Alex.
They would fucking timestamp that shit real quick.
Shut up.
They were beeping. They were bumping.
You're beeping. And now I got a clean one on you. What are you guys drinking? You guys got some BF, some BF drinks? Got some BF drinks over there? What are you guys going?
No, I got a little High Life on this
end. Yeah, I got a wheat beer, a new wheat beer from my brewery.
I'm doing an Arnold Palmer Vatti.
Nice.
All right. I guess
that's I have the Rotten Tomatoes page up.
Hit that.
So 75%, this is very strange. 75% on the tomato meter, right, for critics. Yeah. So it's certified fresh. And then 57% for the audience score. Usually those are like opposite, aren't they? Like usually the audience is like, fuck those critics.
Yeah.
And now they're just like, fuck this movie.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. That's
a little weird. Strange. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's weird. Not that we've talked about rating yet, but I think that this movie, I don't know if it's when it was released or what, but I think it kind of got a bad rap. Like I would never go to bat for this thing, but I don't know. This is a better movie than I was led to believe it was, which is the perfect kind of movie homework movie, right? Like,
totally.
Alex, it's like you'd be fine never seeing this, and then it actually is it has something to it, you know? I mean, I thought this was pretty good, and I'm kind of curious as to why people disliked it as much as I heard they did.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things for me, I've been thinking throughout this whole review is like the same thing you said, Jack. Like, would I go to bat for this? Like, I do enjoy this movie a lot, but like, I can't say that I love it.
Right.
But I think I would go to bat for it. I mean, there's a lot to be said for it. Unless, you know, it's fucking 20 years later and you know, visual effects has just surpassed whatever we have now or in 2016. And then you're just like, look, this is fucking dated. I can't help you. But the story is pretty decent. Yeah. You know? But right as it stands now, like, yeah, I think I would go to bat for this. You know, if this came up and, you know, one of my nieces or nephews was just like, should we watch this? I'm like, fucking check it out, dude. There's a fart scene. It's great.
Exactly. Like, people talk about the Edward D. Wood Jr. movies, right? You know, and the fact that, like, for some reason, this guy's movies have endured, even though everybody admits that they're pieces of shit. Like, they just are. But he made them with a lot of love and care. And, you know, obviously the Tim Burton movie shows a lot of that. But I don't know. This kind of feels to me like you know that this was made by a guy who actually put thought into what he was doing. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, I don't know. There's something interesting about this movie. Again, it's like you said, if I'm, you know, my niece is over for a sleepover or something, and she's looking for something she hasn't seen and something that I can tolerate and actually get something out of, I think this is on that list of movies to throw on, you know?
Look, and it just kind of seems like a perfect marriage in a lot of ways with, you know, Roald Dahl's fucking source material and then Spielberg, you know, with the, you know, the big studio behind him, you know, throw money at it where he can execute the vision that he has for it. And then, you know, with the John Williams score and fucking Kaminsky's, you know, fucking eyes.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Two things I'm getting out of you guys talking is one of the biggest compliments here is you guys can recommend this to somebody. It's not just
I for sure would.
You know, like, you know which audience is going to like it. And that's the compliment is there's someone out there that you know would like this or would love this. So that's like a huge deal. I mean, because there's some movies where you're like, I'm not fucking telling anyone about this piece of shit.
Okay, yeah. So you got a few of the audience reviews on the Rotten Tomatoes. I just want to read a couple of them right now. 2.5 stars out of 5. It's a family film that seems to come short of anything even remotely exciting. 1 star. Boring. Watch if you need to take a nap. Not much to say because this movie made me feel lightheaded and bored to tears. Decent visuals and actors weren't bad, but nothing else. Very upset. And then somebody's like a 3.5 star review. BFG is visually stunning, but sadly lacks the adventurous punch to keep the adult viewer engaged. While my kids thoroughly enjoyed the film, I was a tad bored, unfortunately. Well, how about you have them fucking review it? No name.
I gotta
you leave your name.
I gotta say the boredism is Rylance. He's slow. He's old. Like
dynamic.
What we were talking about with Robin Williams there, if a character like that, an actor, someone at that caliber was BFG. Mm. I don't know in the book if he is supposed to be a senior fucking citizen, but if you get some kind of comic, fun-loving, energetic, youthful giant, I think you can grab that audience a lot better.
Yeah, because I think even Robin Williams would have looked at it, and if he is supposed to be as old as we see here, then he would have been but on more of like a gravelly voice and like he would have figured it out and just maintained.
Like even the grandfather and Willy Wonka has even the grandfather in Willy Wonka has energy at, you know, dancing. Oh,
he's fucking been in bed for 24 years and then he gets up and just starts fucking dancing like for sure.
Well, you can't compare, though, because he's happy because he can finally get away from his wife. Oh, hey, wow.
Zinger. Hey,
that's not fair, is it?
But I think that's I think Rylance is the bore factor here.
Could be.
I had one more thing to say.
Wow.
I forget what the other thing was.
Yeah.
You were saying about Roald Dahl and Spielberg's budget and everything at his fingertips. Would you guys like to see a Spielberg Wonka movie? I'm just throwing it out there. I know we're getting West Side Story. We're getting, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think we've already got it. Look, I mean, we saw it with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or Burton's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I know, but Burton and Spielberg are not the same guy.
No, definitely not.
That's what I'm saying. Definitely. Would you guys like to see? Let's say the original movie never came out. Would you like to see Spielberg's take on that book?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
100%. Yeah. Different conversation.
Yeah. For
sure.
That's the conversation I'm bringing up.
My whole thing was with the Burton thing. my whole thing with bringing up Burton's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is that they're already going into it like knowing that the deck is stacked against them in terms of like the popularity of Willy Wonka. I mean that shit went two generations by the time Burton got his fucking project off the ground. And look, fucking Johnny Depp got a lot of shit for that. Lot of shit. The fucking Oompa Loompas, his decision to digitally fucking multiply all the Oompa Loompas, he got a lot of shit for that. Yeah. Now I like it. I don't like it as much as Willy Wonka, the original, but it's still pretty decent. And that fucking kid, I forget his name, Charlie something.
Oh,
Charlie Bucket. No. But
he was in that Peter Pan movie with Depp too.
Yeah,
and he was in what you call it? Wasn't he Bates Motel guy?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he was pretty good in that.
Yeah.
And but
Freddie
Highmore. There you go. But Depp's fucking decision, his choices for Willy Wonka were just super fucking weird.
Yeah.
Really, really very fucking weird.
Oddball. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's just
I remember really liking it when it first came out, but it's. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it in a long time now. I have to imagine that the Michael Jackson references are probably a little more, I don't know, a little creepier now than even they were then. They were pretty fucking creepy then, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, forgive me for asking, is movie homework movies you've never seen, or can it be revisits and stuff?
No, I think totally can be revisits.
Because like a Tim Burton kind of like remake.
What?
Like Planet of the Apes, Willy Wonka, Dark Shadows sounds pretty good to me.
No, it doesn't.
No, not at all. I'm down for a Tim Burton, though. Tim Burton trilogy, maybe. At some point, sure.
Tim Burton movies you haven't seen.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Like Dumbo or some shit. I haven't seen
that. Okay, so I know this doesn't, it's sort of like somewhat linked, but when you were talking about would you want to see Spielberg do.
Wonka.
Like a Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
I don't think if I were going to pick a guy to do it, I would actually want to do. I would want to see Wes Anderson do it because I think of all the Roald Dahl movies.
Yeah.
No.
Fantastic Mr. Fox for me is probably the best of them, and I would definitely want to see what he does with that.
It's tough. Like I think that's tough.
It's either him or, and this is going to sound way out of fucking left field, but if they're going to make another Willy Wonka at some point, it's got to be way different. So I want to see either Wes Anderson or Guillermo del Toro.
And just I'll take del Toro.
I would take del Toro.
Over. Yeah. Listen, first of all, Spielberg kind of did Wonka just to knock my point down with kind of like the Ready Player One. That's more of like the digital Wonka.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's right. A little bit.
But Wes Anderson, you're going into this, Charlie, you're going into this factory and you want to see everything and centering everything down the screen and the actor dead center in Wes Anderson. You're not going to see everything. He's not going to show you.
Dude, I would absolutely love a scene where, like Life Aquatic, where he shows you, let me tell you about my boat, and the whole boat is blistered out with everybody working.
I love that.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory's fucking factory like that. That would look amazing.
Yeah, but for one shot, but I still want to see all the little intricate details.
Look, like, I don't care.
That's what he would do. That's his greatest strength is the intricate details.
I want Bill Murray as Willy Wonka. I don't care how old he is, okay? Just give me that. Whoever's directing it, I don't fucking care.
That would actually work because for me, watching Willy Wonka all these fucking years, even when I was a kid, I'm like, this guy's kind of young to just be passing this off.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like he says he's getting old. He doesn't want to fucking, you know, he wants to pass it off to somebody who has like the heart of a child and shit like that.
Yeah.
But he was kind of a young dude. You expect like an older dude to be like, unless fucking Willy Wonka fucking had cancer or something. He's like, I got to fucking pass this off.
Yeah. Or is there about a fucking tweet or something that's going to take him down one or the other?
Yeah. That's another show, right, guys?
It is. It is a mothership.
Yes. You guys got any last thoughts for the old big fucking giant over here?
Big fucking giant? Other than I've always called it big fucking giant, I still am going to call it big fucking giant? No. I have no final thoughts.
No?
No. Not really.
I think our greatest compliment is that this is something that we can recommend to someone that you know is going to love this adventure type of Spielbergian film. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like Jack put it perfectly. Like, would you go to bat for this? I think I would. I think I would. I mean, there's enough salvageable there for sure.
Absolutely. And like I said, we said the CGI is just fucking on.
It's so good, man. It's so good. And I think, again, Jack, you had a really good point bringing up Polar Express, and that being a comparison to BFG. It's just that, you know, you make it a giant instead of just like a regular fucking train conductor or whatever. Sure. Otherwise, it's
is
fucking
that the
weird.
Fucking music?
What are we listening to?
I thought this was the outro, Jack. I thought this is what you wanted.
Sure, it could be, but we gotta give ratings, right?
Yeah, but we're gonna do it right over this. It's like I'm being right,
that's perfect. I love it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Who wants to start? Yeah, go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I'll start. It's a strong six. It's a strong six. It's almost a seven, but it's a strong six. So, I think it's worth watching. Unlike some of the other, you know, stuff we talk about on movie homework, we never know until we get into it sometimes. But I think this is worth your time. I think that the CGI is very good. I actually like Mark Rylance. I know, you know, we were talking about he was maybe part of the reason why people think it's boring. I personally didn't find him boring. And I think the voice acting is phenomenal. I think it's the I mean, really, it's Jermaine and Mark Rylance. It's those two guys, but they're just so great.
Yeah.
I just think it's perfect. It reminds me of like Pixar, you know, casting Inside Out or something. Like they're so appropriate.
Yep.
Go ahead.
So yeah, strong six.
No, I don't know why, but I you know, once we see BFG's like fucking dream catchers, whatever the fuck that is, dream jars. Like, I got heavy Inside Out vibes from that.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, this is like Inside Out. And then I realized nobody was watching this with me.
You looked to your left? To
yeah, nobody was there.
You started nudging with your elbow? Hey, this is like...
Hey, right? The weird thing was, when I first started nudging, somebody was there.
Oh!
And I looked over, nobody was there.
Yeah, they bounced.
Spooky, right?
Super That's spooky. Weird.
Hey, careful.
No, I would definitely go to bat for this. I enjoyed it a hell of a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Just because it's called the BFG, I never wanted to see this movie.
Yeah.
And it was an animated movie that came out a few years ago, and I'm not going to see animated movies unless they're like Pixar or just like fucking huge. But yeah, I really dug the story. I thought the little kid that played Sophie was pretty good, and. Yeah, I was just immediately in with I love an underdog, and I'm always going to vote for the underdog. So and you see, you have two underdogs here coming together for just a team, and they turn out to be a great team. So and things work out. So yeah, I like this a little bit better than you, Jack. I give it a 7.
Nice.
Really, really enjoyed it.
Whoa! Listen. If there's nothing I want more than a fucking Alex and Jack sandwich right now, I am going to go 6.5 forever. I want to go right in between you guys, spooning. CGI, knocked it out of the park. Voice acting, phenomenal. I mean, Jermaine Dupri. Is that who it is? No.
Jermaine Dupri, yeah. Yep.
He was so good. Phenomenal voice acting by Jermaine Dupri. I thought he was a phenomenal choice. I didn't even know he did this. But Mark Rylance, I did like Mark Rylance. I can see, you know, I'm not saying that he was the boar, but I think I can see where the boar is. I think there's a hint there. Sophie the Girl was great. Spielberg direction, there are some cool shots here. I will go to bat for this. I will recommend this to certain people, but nevertheless, I will recommend it probably to my niece and nephew. Yeah, like I said, right in between you guys, 6.5. There are half ratings, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm.
That's right.
So that was it. That was our trilogy of movie homeworks Steven Spielberg movies we've never seen before. And I had a great time with these three. If we could find other ones, I'm totally down.
Oh, we will, dude. Thanks for joining us. This was a good idea.
Glad
we did it. Like, as much as War Horse was a deplorable piece of fucking trash, I'm glad I finally watched Sugarland Express and BFG. And I think I got something out of both of them. And that's what this is all about. You know, sometimes we get some real home runs, but you know, that's part of it. We gotta kind of get through the muck and the mire sometimes. Just watch some shit we haven't seen. Like, fuck. Everybody wants to sit down and watch 7 hours of Tiger King instantly. Like, let's just throw on a movie for an hour and a half. See what happens.
I may watch that shit again. That's so good.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half, right? Like, it's no big deal. Just fucking sit down for an hour and a half. It's a fucking Tiger King and a half.
I meant Tiger King. I may watch Tiger King again.
I might watch that again.
Yeah, that's true.
That bitch, Carol Baskin.
Carol fucking Baskin?
That's right. Well, yeah, so Chad C. will be returning on our next recording. And Alex, I don't know, I sent a text message earlier.
Oh, I'm down. I'm down with this idea. You want to talk to people?
All right, so let's just announce it now. So we got to decide on the movie, but I think the next three we're going to do is we're going to pick a couple of Criterion movies and see what happens. So for those of you who don't know what it is, Criterion Collection, they're one of the best film restoration warehouses on the planet. They work with Janus Films, and they find interesting films from all around the world, restore them, and you know, make sort of the definitive version of whatever that DVD or Blu-ray is. You know, one of the best ones I've seen, and I've talked, I think, to these guys about this and other people as well. They have the definitive Night of the Living Dead. It is fucking incredible. They restore the movie, and then you've got like 5 or 6 hours of featurettes and alternate cuts of the movie and all kinds of stuff. But there's a lot of really good stuff in there. And we've been talking about it for a while. I think it's time we dive into those.
So we'll
probably get into those a little bit. Maybe we do ones we haven't seen. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll figure that out.
Words.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, we'll let you know on Facebook what the next one's going to be.
I don't have a lot of physical media, but I am looking right above my desk at my Criterion Collection, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yes, bitch.
Boom.
It's one of the best ones. So much good stuff. All right. I think that's it for today, right, Pete?
Yeah, that's it, man. Thank you for having me. It was a blast.
Dude, thanks for hosting this one. And we'll have you back again. This was great.
Please do. All right, guys. See ya.
See ya.
Later.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network at BingeMedia.net. Support the show by donating on Patreon at patreon.com/BingeMedia. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I didn't stop giving hand jobs because I was good at it. I stopped giving hand jobs because I was the best at it. Yes!